October 21st, 2015, the day where they had predicted that all kinds of cool stuff was going to be happening. So fortunately, obviously the bearer of bad news, we do not have hovercrafts, but maybe that's not so much of a bad thing because they also had said we would be having these kinds of phones, and I don't know about you, but I'm pretty much okay with not having that kind of phone to lug around. Instead, obviously, we have these guys, right? And how many of you keep your phone at your bedside and use it as an alarm clock? All right. So assuming that many of you are probably equally disturbed when you have your alarm tone, somebody else's ringtone, and it goes off and it just completely like throws you off. Yeah? Okay. Well, we're not alone. 87% of the population are actually always connected to their cell phone as well. And if it's not enough that it's on your cell phone that you're always connected, we have wearables where we're 24/7 connected now as well. The interesting thing is, though, that even though we have this phenomenon of always being connected, as users, we're in way more control over when we're communicating and what we're being communicated to us, and then vice versa out to the world as well, because we can choose when or when not to shut something off, basically. By 2030, the expectation is that actually of smartphone devices, wearables are going to be taking over 70% of that market. So if you're not already on that trend, more than likely you're going to be part of that statistic very soon. So going into talking about like what smart actually means, right? Everybody knows what this is, smart car. I actually call it the not so smart car because it's not one that's actually totally equipped to have that potential. So as we're going into, you know, the future, if you will, the trends of what it means to be smart is actually something that we kind of are starting to rethink. And so when we're thinking about what it is that is smart, does a building have a potential to be smart? If a car has a potential to be smart, if your watch or your phone has the potential to be smart, maybe. Does the highway that you drive over or the bridge that you go over have the potential to be smart? And actually, it does. A lot of the smart devices will be built into potentially concrete or other things that function as sensors that allow them to send data back to maybe, I don't know, pretend or prevent a crack from happening in the bridge. So you're going to see smart going into things like infrastructure and agriculture and other areas where we're actually going to start to build things. Smart houses. Doesn't seem like such a far stretch, right? Many of you probably have a Nest device. I have a Nest device. Nest actually has a capability of not just letting you set your temperature from a distance or, you know, say I'm actually not home, I'm on vacation, I don't want to turn the air conditioning on. It actually knows when you are in the building. It knows when you pass it by, and so it starts to gauge your behavior. So without you having to even tell it whether or not you're home, it knows whether or not you're home because it can actually detect that. So other things, you know, everything from your morning coffee to your refrigerator to a frying pan may become a smart device. Travel. I don't think that it's a far stretch for us to start thinking about like how planes or airports or other modes of communication will become smart. This is actually the BMW 7 Series. I would really encourage you all to talk about really smart marketing to go look at the BMW 7 Series YouTube advertising. This car has a capability of not only pulling itself into the garage, but out of the garage, and it's probably the car that for the first time that has me excited about being a passenger. It has all kinds of neat and souped up features built into it, but everything gets basically controlled from a remote. Pretty cool. So transportation from seaports to road signs to street lights all have the potential to be smart. Healthcare, I think is probably one of the industries that has already had the most impact. Obviously, wearable devices being connected to how much you're walking, where you're walking to, steps and things like that, all having the ability to transmit that information directly to your healthcare professional as well. So that being one of many, shopping, and whether it's online or actually in a grocery store, all having the ability to make smart decisions with you and or for you. The way that you're even like attending this conference today and larger conferences, I spoke at a conference in San Francisco, a women tech conference, where one of the presenters was doing a pitch about a product that they had that allowed them to set up sensors at certain areas within large conferences or at an airport. And it actually allows you to optimize the flow of traffic through a venue. And how cool is that? If you're trying to get additional placements for sponsorship, you can actually go to the sponsors and tell them where the specific flow of traffic may be, where you may want to have some of those key sponsors set up their booths. So pretty cool stuff coming. Government, cities, again, everything being able to sort of like be connected. And so when we're talking about all of this, at this point, we're talking about 4.9 billion connected devices. That's a lot of data. All of those devices being in some way Wi-Fi enabled or social, some kind of like social and engagement capacity. And by 2020, that number looks to be somewhere around 40 billion devices. So when we're, I think you guys probably all caught on, like what I'm talking about here is the Internet of Things. And the Internet of Things is truly the trend that is the one that for me is the most fascinating because it has the biggest potential of disruption. And as I've kind of highlighted throughout, it's not disrupting any one particular industry. It goes pretty much across the board. And so no matter whether you're on the marketing side where you're responsible for selling one of these devices or you're selling to the consumers that are using these devices, it's going to affect you in some way or another if it hasn't already. And so the Internet of Things, just to put a little bit of language around it, is effectively machine-to-machine communication. Sounds right. Cloud computing, right? All the data is going back to the cloud based on a number of sensors, measuring that data from those entry points back to you effectively. And it's instantaneous. So almost all of that data does absolutely nothing if we don't do something with it, right? So I'm going to touch upon that in a little bit because I will highlight some tools that actually allow you to do something with all of that data. And then obviously, as I've kind of highlighted, it's across industries. So it's everywhere from seaports to streetlights to your watch, your phone, not my watch, I'm a little old school. So then the key thing kind of becomes, how do you take the Internet of Things? How do you go from just marketing things or taking another product and actually telling the human story that goes with it, right? And so I call it the Internet of Me, and so this is where all of you come in, right? It's because it's without having the human behind all of that to relate to another human, we're not really making anything of that experience. And we are the ones where, be it through social or whatever channel it is that you're engaging with these consumers, we're the ones that are ultimately responsible for making that magical moment. And it's through smart marketing that we're able to make these experiences more personal, right? And so 75% of shoppers have actually stated that they prefer when their experience is improved through a company using personal information. So what may that personal information look like? I think retailers do a really good job of that because they collect so much data on users, right? And so it's more than just your name or your demographic. It's when you come online, how long you are online, what was your entry point, how often do you come back, how long did you were you on through your last login, and what login are you using that you're maybe using across other sites and other domains as well, right? So there's a lot of personal information that you may even already be collecting but not doing much with. And so what happens is that through the Internet of Things, there's going to be a lot more touch points, right? A lot more about how do you make your coffee in the morning, let's just say, or like when do you make your coffee in the morning? So if you're Folgers and you want to start innovating, there's a lot more information that you'll be able to eventually use to your disposal in order to sort of like start thinking about not just making recommendations, but being able to anticipate what your consumer may actually want. So being able to be predictive with your messaging and to sort of like kind of like one-up them, if you will, is going to be an important key to being a successful marketer. So one of the tools, and this is actually a disclosure, a company in which we've invested at OpenView, is Monetay. And Monetay, more specifically for retailers, but they give you really good examples, and I would recommend checking out some of their case studies because they do it really well, and their customers do it really well. They're able to take data that they already have access to through their CRM or through their point of sale and to make those experiences much more personalized. And there's a number of channels through which that personalization happens, but this is one of, and this, again, there's probably many other tools out there. This is just an example, but there are a number of ways in which you can make that happen. Another company, I'm a huge fan of these people, I saw them present recently, is Interana. They're San Francisco based, they're a new startup, and they're kind of like a souped up Google Analytics. They're actually so souped up, and I apologize if there's any Google people in here, but Google even uses them. They give you data on timestamps that Google Analytics doesn't present you. So sort of like the timestamps in between what Google shows you, like the first visit and like the last visit or different, you know, things in between, they have all of that. So for you to be able to get into that moment of becoming more predictive, this is one of those analytical tools that will allow you to get there. Probably a little bit more relevant for any of those businesses that are more enterprise focused, but I would anticipate that there's going to be a lot more companies following suit of this nature, be it for SMB or be it for smaller retailers as well. And if nothing else, I think Google is probably going to take eventually a page out of their book where they're going to have to start providing users with a lot more data than what they're sharing with you right now. So a litmus test to sort of like check to see whether or not you're kind of going to be able to follow trend with all of this is to figure out whether or not you are truly there for when your customers need you, right? And so I think it's easy as marketers to sort of like step back and be like, yeah, I got those tweets covered, or yeah, I'm sending out those emails when we're supposed to, or they did a download, I got nurturing set up. But you want to figure out, is that truly when people want to be receiving that communication, right? Some really smart examples are happening definitely, I think, on the paid marketing side. So there's a lot of paid advertising that's starting to change where you'll see ads start to appear based on when a user last visited a site. Or where, depending on the time of day or where you are located, I will actually show you a different ad version because I know you're actually near our location, or because I know you're closer to the time at which, let's say if I'm a spin studio, you're closer to the time at which I'm actually going to have classes happening. So I'm going to give you, as part of my advertising, the next up class where you can actually join. So it's just like sort of like starting to think out of the box and put yourself again more so into the shoes of what that user is and what may be that anticipated next need, so you can actually be there in that moment. Are you gathering the right data to make smarter and better interactions with each customer? So again, maybe Google Analytics is or isn't the right tool for you at the time, but sort of like figuring out what pieces are you missing. And some of it may be that you don't need to go to an outside source. Some of it may be maybe I can work with my product team. Maybe they actually have information that I haven't requested yet, or there's more information in-house where I could probably, you know, start making smarter decisions or different decisions or try different things out just to sort of like test the limits a little bit to see if I can start getting more engagement from some of our users. And then this is, I think it can't be overemphasized. And this is an area where we even at OpenView have recognized 60% of our users come to our website through mobile device. And our website currently is not mobile enabled, so we're actually going through a redesign. But there are still so many websites that are not mobile friendly. So you really want to take a look at, this is just one of the areas in which you can increase speed. Take a look at what the experience is of engaging with your product, of engaging with your website, and any other sort of like channel that you have through the mobile experience. How fast is it? Does it take forever to load a page? Like, and even if you're like sharing something and it's like, yeah, you're right there on social and it couldn't be faster than it is through Twitter or Facebook or whatever, but whatever you're sending them to, if that ends up being a painfully slow experience, you're gonna have drop off. So my wish is that we all kind of like step back and think about like, what is that unexpected thing that we can give someone? And the unexpected thing is really to make that last interaction better than the last one was, right? And I think one of, you know, the most talked about topics probably has been like, you know, consumer experience and customer service and so on. But I think that's a topic that's not gonna go away anytime soon. I think with all the information that we're eventually going to be able to collect, with the number of things that are going to be revolutionized and sort of like reinvented in some ways and new ways in which we can basically market them and market to people, it really does matter how we're interacting with those people and how they're interacting with us and what their experience is and whether or not we truly can make that next one better than the last one was that they had. It leaves that lasting impression. So I think I actually flew through that. So we have a ton of time for Q&A. If you have questions, now is definitely the time to ask. I would love for you even to maybe ask each other questions if you haven't already gotten a chance to mingle with each other. Maybe share a little bit about what companies you are at, what things you're marketing, what types of marketers you are. I think the floor is yours.
I have a question for the audience. How many of you are integrating some of these smart technology processes in the work that you do on a daily basis or have been thinking about integrating this type of technology into the work that you do? Now, if you raise your hand, I might ask you to share. So if that's okay, I might ask you to introduce yourself and the company in which you represent.
My name's Rachel. I work at Sun Life Financial. Yeah, we've just been doing a lot with gathering data from our website and our social media channels to improve that experience. In one of the workshops this morning, I said for our website is mobile responsive, finally. But another thing that we're looking to do is we sell our products through intermediary brokers. So we really feel like we have three main audiences, insurance brokers, the employer companies who sell our or offer our products to their employees, and then the end user employee themselves. Currently, when you go to our website, you have to go up to a tab at the top, kind of pick out who you are, and then follow that path. We're trying to get to the point where, based on a couple initial interactions with content on our website, they'll automatically go to their right path. So we want the website to identify, this is a broker, he's gonna go to the broker website, and if he wants to look at other things, he can, but he's only gonna go to the broker website. Employers are gonna see employer content, end users are gonna see end user content, and again, with it, you know, with the emphasis on everything being mobile friendly as well, including, you know, how to submit a claim, all of those things. You know, we're moving towards, you know, e-payment for all of our employers, which is easier said than done. You'd think that would be really easy. We're finding it's a little more challenging, especially for some of our larger clients, but that's just one of the things we're trying to do to kind of ease the customer journey and, again, make every touch point as valuable as possible so that people aren't looking through a bunch of data and information that doesn't pertain to them when our audiences are so distinct.
Yeah. Depending on the type of CMS that you use, so HubSpot offers a CMS. HubSpot actually allows you to segment your content on your website based on a referring source, for instance. So, you know, that's, again, just one example, but I think whether you're using WordPress or any other custom-built CMS as well, I think going down the path and, like, being sort of forward-thinking and in the shoes of your users and wanting to make your content the best possible experience where it's like, I don't need you to take that extra click because I already know where you're coming from, so let's just place you right in your native environment. Really good.
Hi, I'm Taylor. I'm from Discovery Communications, and more specifically and recently within their Discovery Education Department. So we offer innovative services for educators and students and parents to sort of bring digital content and a new way of learning into the classroom. We recently, we do a lot of analysis on behaviors from our teachers and the students, and we do focus groups and get a lot of insights into what they're telling us. And so one of the cool new tools that we've begun to implement is we're doing a facial recognition feature for login to our website, because we've learned that a lot of our students, if they're, you know, K through third grade, have a hard time typing out their username and password, or have a hard time even remembering what that might be. So all they have to do is just look into the camera on their tablet or on their computer. It recognizes their face, and it's going to enable them to log in. So what we're finding is, based on that little piece of information that we got, we're able to have, you know, user engagement skyrocket with all of these kids logging on way more frequently than they were before. So that's just a one example of things that we're doing.
Can you share what software you're using for that?
I'm actually not sure what software that is. I could ask my tech team. But it was something that came out of a focus group and then turned into a larger discussion with a task force in my team. So I think that it was actually someone internal that figured out how to do all of that in the back end.
Anybody using user testing as well, or doing any kind of user testing or other kind of like focus groups or talking to their customers, customer surveys or anything? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Fun fact is that you actually, if you're doing user testing on your website, especially if you're about to launch a new product, or if you're just doing a website redesign, you actually only need to have 5 people go through the process. So it can be incredibly fast to be able to get feedback. Obviously, you want them within sort of your target market, but 5 people, that's all you need. Usertesting.com, if you check it out, pretty simple way to quickly get answers to something rather than sort of like on a whim just throwing something up and kind of like hope it sticks. It allows you to actually validate your assumptions. And more often than not, you're right, but that way if the boss comes to you, you've done it.
Very cool. I saw another hand. All right. Any other questions for the audience? So this is, I think I know the answer to this question, but it sort of ties into the conversations that we had in the earlier sessions about customer personas. Now, if folks are trying to integrate some of these smart technologies, say for a HubSpot, you have to define your customer persona in order for those tools to work correctly. Am I correct in my thinking?
Yes, and you should. Whether you're using HubSpot or not, you should be defining your personas. I'm going to kind of toot our own horn on this one as well. OpenView is a big, big believer in defining your target audience, your target market, your segments, and then your buyer specifically. There's a ton of resources on our site, ton of resources on HubSpot, all of which are free, templates galore to help you actually walk through if you've never done that exercise before. But in order for you to get more targeted with your marketing, be it email, social, whatever channel you use, and whatever data you use to back it up, you have to know who you're talking to.
Thought I'd lob that one up to you. Any other questions from the floor? All right, here you go.
I just have a quick question on HubSpot. I'm not very familiar with HubSpot.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was sort of like a tool for sales, but can you explain how it helps marketers?
Sure. HubSpot's actually first was a marketing software solution. So it offers kind of like a one-stop shop, if you will. We sort of like saw the pain point of people using Google Analytics and WordPress and Hootsuite and like all these like different like add-on components, and you had like 10,000 passwords and like you're one person, like you have to do all these things. So HubSpot brought everything into one. So it offers a CMS, it offers a social media function where you can send out tweets, schedule tweets, and monitor tweets, everything. It has all the analytics built in, allows you to build landing pages for conversion purposes, and then it has a database where it allows you to collect all the people that are not just visiting your site, so it shows you prospect information, but also actually have converted through your website as well. Now, even if you're not hosting your website with HubSpot, you can still use HubSpot to do all of those things also. They started to add on functionalities because marketing plays nice with sales, and what better opportunity to improve that sales and marketing alignment than to have a smooth handoff from marketing to sales. And so there's additional sales tools as well, Sidekick, which allows you to hook it up to your email and actually take your contacts from your email and see when they visit your site. And then there's a full CRM as well. Yeah.
To piggyback on that, does anybody in the group currently use HubSpot and want to share a little bit about your experience? So I'll work my way back and around if you want to say your name and the company that you represent.
Hi, I'm Cheryl Sullivan. I work at Gilbain Building Company. We started with HubSpot like 5 years ago. And like you said, it encompasses everything. But I guess what we're struggling with right now, and I'm working with them, they have a whole bunch of preferred vendors now. We just can't tell when someone calls. Our business is relationship-based more than most, I would say. So on our location page, we have all these phone numbers. So I guess there's a company we're talking to, Invoca, if anyone's heard of them. And if you click to call, we'll be able to see. And if they're a HubSpot customer, we'll know that they, you know, maybe came through a campaign we had and then called. So it's kind of proof that it worked. So that's what we're researching right now.
My name's Mike Brown with the Brain Zooming Group, and we're actually just in our first year. So it's encouraging to hear somebody 5 years in. And we're just using it to do landing pages more and just trying to integrate it more to get better advantage of people who are visiting the website, understand what they're interested in, and basically try and do a more efficient job of marketing to them rather than people just coming in, hitting the site, looking at some information and going off, and we, you know, may or may not ever see them again, but don't really even know if we ever see them again. So a lot of functionality there. As a small organization, it's just the challenge of how you tap into that and invest the time to really take advantage of it. So I'm actually going over there on Friday morning. I'm staying over a day to go talk to our customer solutions manager and get to know them a little bit better. So
fantastic. And I'll plug a friend of mine from the South Shore who has a business called Nectify, and they're a HubSpot partner. And on his website, he has a ton of great resources for folks that are trying to learn more about HubSpot and integrate it into their marketing efforts. And I'll second visiting the HubSpot website is fantastic, and their inbound marketing certification is very powerful. And the knowledge that you'll gain will impact your social media marketing, even if you don't utilize their services. So I would recommend that you definitely check out HubSpot. Any other questions from the floor?
Hi, I'm Ismail with USAA. I have a question. You mentioned Interana as a web analytics.
Interana, yeah.
Interana, yep. Platform. Any feedback on what are some of the leading social analytics tools?
I would ask all of you. I think what better crowd to answer your question than a group of social experts. Anybody have a favorite tool that they use? Yeah. They also released, I think it was today or just recently, their annual State of Social Media Marketing report. So I would definitely check out Simply Measured.
All right. Well, thank you very much. It's very informative. You.